Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are living, it's the wild, wild west here in the city of Benton Harbor. Absolutely. Poor. Poor, when I said poor. Poor policing. Not only in the city of Benton Harbor, but also in the township. And it appears to me the chicken has come home to roost. Because this is, wow, this is what has been led. This started over 20, 25 years ago by them dummying down the school system. Well, it's led by Whirlpool Corporation. Those of you who like Whirlpool, that's on you. But they are basically the cause of all this. I would suggest you not buy a Whirlpool washer, dryer, stove, or refrigerator. Anything that has to do with Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, do not buy. One of the most racist corporations in the nation. And I would say that, you know, they got all our elected officials in Seoul. I saw on first Facebook where a young lady said, well, everybody has a price, which is typical for black people who has no wisdom or knowledge to say. You know, that it doesn't really mean a whole lot. It's just a cliche that they use, that everybody has a price. So what they're saying, don't anybody have any morals? That's what she was basically saying. But listen to this. The mayor of Benton Harbor, a Muslim brother, Marcus Muhammad, came out with a white plan. It wasn't black. There wasn't nothing black about it. It was a white plan. He called himself, actually thinking he had actually said something. Here's what he said. Point one, more policing. Point two, more policing. Point three, more policing. Point four, more policing. Point five, bring in the National Guards for a little community like this. Six, for everybody over 17 that you have to be in at 11 o'clock, but all the killing is being done at 5 o'clock. All the shooting is being done around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. It doesn't really make any sense at all. And then they come up – now, this is the killer part. They came up with the part that a 21-day peace, 21 days of peace. That's ridiculous. You may as well say 366 days of peace. Like, they, you know, you don't talk to the youth. You don't have any relationship with the youth. And you're a young guy. But yet and still, see, that's a white plan. They want to bring in more policing, the National Guard for a small town like this, rather than going trying to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem, we have to deal with whether we like it or not. That's where we at. We must deal with the root of the problem here in the city of Benton Harbor. And it's crazy because we allow them to get away with this. You know, there was a shooting probably 100 feet from Benton Harbor Police Department. 100 feet. My church is about 200 feet from police headquarters. But 100 feet, there was a shootout. Nobody apprehended, nothing, not a single person. And here's the sad part. You actually got people in this community who felt that was a good plan. Bring in more policemen, bring in the National Guards, set up a curfew for everyone under 17 to be in the house at 11 o'clock and all the shootings happen between 4, 5, and 6 o'clock. I mean, what is really going on? How naive can we be? How different can we be? I mean, what is going on that's allowing us to think on this level? Someone is bringing guns into the community along with the drugs. Someone is bringing, see, I'm not going to say Whirlpool Corporation is bringing the drugs in. But I believe it's a possibility that they're the one flooding this community with drugs and guns. Yeah, I don't have any evidence to support that. But somebody got to be bringing them in. Somebody got to be giving these young folks, they don't even have enough money to buy food, but yet they can buy a gun. People here don't even have enough money to buy food, but they can buy drugs. Do have a problem with that. I do have a problem with how drugs have destroyed our community. I do have a problem with how guns have destroyed our community. And one thing about black people, they will defend someone they like. They'll defend them to death. But what I don't like, your son out here killing somebody, after he kills somebody, you try to ship him down south. No, I don't like that. If I ever see someone shoot somebody, whether I know him or not, I'm turning you in. That's right. I'm not going by it because I hope that somebody go out and shoot somebody I love or someone that you also turn them in. Turn them in, even if it's your own, you got to turn these people in. Because if they kill once, they'll kill again. And this is what we're dealing with here in the city of Benton Harbor. It's not a pretty situation. It's been this way for years. It's going to get worse. Because they want to drive the people completely out of Benton Harbor. They want this land surrounded by water. And they're going to get it. They want this land surrounded by water. That's right. That's right. They want this land at all costs. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about nothing. All they care about is this land. Jack Nicklaus, signature golf course, surrounded by home costing as much as $1 million. Don't pay any taxes to the city of Benton Harbor. They got all the taxes in escrow. Who does that? They allow these people to put the taxes in escrow until it becomes converted over to St. Joseph, Michigan. That's what they did. And people walk around and go, oh, I didn't know all this. Well, all you had to do was read before you sang. Unbelievable. And I'm telling you this. You see, self-inflicted wound, that's what it is. That's what we're guilty of, self-inflicted wounds. They may give you the gun, but they don't tell you to shoot yourself. But that's what we're doing. We're shooting ourselves dead in the head. Become brain dead. Water. The water here is a major issue. Loaded with lead. You got lead in your water in Benton Harbor. Now listen to this. Who used to furnish water to all the surrounding areas here. St. Joseph, St. Joseph Township, Benton Township. All the areas around here used to get water from Benton Harbor. All the waters around here don't have lead in their water. Benton Harbor is the only one who has lead. They was refurbishing a water tower here full of lead rather than they spend $500,000 to do this. And it costs $1 million to put a new tank in, a more modern tank. They'd rather, because it's a black community, but it's going to be white shortly. It's a process. This place is going to be all white pretty soon. They're going to vote all these elected officials out of here. And they don't see it because they think these folks like him. But it don't work that way. Unbelievable. And you gotta love the justice system here. Now, if you was walking down the street, pretty much minding your own business, and the police pull up and arrest you, they take you to court, they bond you over on a charge that do not exist. You go to trial, they find you guilty, they send you to prison. You serve 30 months in prison, and when you get out, the Supreme Court ruled once again that there was no such charge. That's right. They can do this to you. Oh no, that's a constitutional right. And here's the thing. Cynthia Stevens, she's from Detroit. Judge Cynthia Stevens. She said that if they send you to prison, that is not a constitutional violation. And if you believe that, you're just as nutty as she is. She has thrown out the Constitution and made up her own Constitution to rule to prison with no charge at all, is not a constitutional violation. Unbelievable. But it's worse than that if we accept it. See, this is what happens when you have a group of people who's all over the place. You got more black people defending this evil, wicked system, tell them to do, and go against their family members, their friends, and everybody else, that they will protect them. That is not true. You are dealing with a monster here. Yeah. Just imagine yourself walking down the street, and two cops pull you over, put you in the back seat, and claim that you did something that's not even a crime. And most likely you'll have an all-white jury. Most likely. They always believe black folks is guilty. Most likely. You know, I never thought that 12 people could come together on anything, whether they're black or white. I never thought that. I, if you said 12 people, I don't see 12 people coming together with the same conclusion on something. But it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But look, I got to move on. Just make sure you're aware of what's going on around you. They make the laws. They do whatever they want to do. And whatever they say, yeah. Like, the judge told the jury this during my trial, that whatever you say is going to be final, whether it's right or wrong. He didn't include that, but I'm putting that in there. He didn't include that. But that's amazed me. But let me go move on. Is Jeffrey Hicks is on the line? Press 1, because I think it's important that we bring you in so you can say whatever your heart desires. Jeffrey, press 1. I don't see you, Jeffrey, so I'm going to go to my good friend from sunny, beautiful Detroit. Let's see what she got to say. Yeah, I'm cool. Let me talk to Phil. Phil Baskin. That's who I want to talk to.
Oh.
Phil Baskin.
Well, you threw me off there since I'm in Kalamazoo.
Yeah. I was looking for my good friend Jeffrey, but I didn't see him. So I had to bring you in, Phil, because I know. Now let me tell you. This is my really good friend, a young man who I love dearly, and that's real. That ain't no fake. I love this guy. He wrote a book about me, Soldier of Truth. Such an amazing book. And you know, he wrote it from his heart. That's what I feel. When I think about you, Phil, I know you're writing. I know how you are. I know how you feel. I know how different things have happened. But you wrote this book from your heart. And that's what I like more than anything else. I mean, it is huge, man. But I let you know I appreciate you. And, you know, I just enjoy talking to you, you know. And, you know, just keep it moving, Phil. But I know there are certain things that you like and things you don't like, and I know you love your basement. You know, they say anything they want, but I know you love that basement.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's going down, Phil.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you like to say?
Well, if you're talking about the book.
Yeah.
And you said I write from my heart. And I tell you, that was a very difficult thing to do. Because I was very angry. And I guess that, you know, like a lot of white people, and maybe black people too, I'm not sure. But I know for white people, we're kind of taught the be nice rule. And if something's not, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Did you hear that when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it was hard for me because I was very angry. I saw a lot of public officials, judges, lawyers, do what I thought was unforgivable, which is lie and deceive the people in the courtroom. And I saw the appeals level also hold up that lie and support Marion County, which I, in my opinion, is one of the most corrupt, you know, jurisdictions in Michigan or even in the country. But I'm starting to feel that the whole system is actually corrupt from the bottom up. But writing from your heart, just to get back to that, is difficult. It's a difficult thing to do because you want to express all this anger, but that wouldn't really be appropriate. It would probably turn your audience off. And you know, I can relate to you speaking about such a horrible experience that you had. I couldn't imagine. I don't think I could have survived 30 months in prison myself. I think it would have just blew my whole soul away, you know. So, Reverend, it's been that difficult even just to watch all the abuse that was heaped on you, all the punishment. But I want to say, you know, publicly that I know that it's had a great effect around the country and that you have done something that maybe nobody else will ever do.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me say this, Phil. I really appreciate you as, you know, being my friend. And I remember when I first met you, and I know that, you know, I think I was on trial when I met you during that period of time. More or less when you came from Kalamazoo to Benton Harbor to listen in on the case. But here's the thing. Regardless what we do, you know, we say, well, you know, just try to do what's right. And if you do what's right, a lot of times things will turn out for you. And that's really what I try to do. I try to do what is right for everybody, not just right for Reverend Pinkney. You see? Because me and my wife, we could have rolled off to the sunset. We didn't have to deal with this. We didn't have to deal with these people.
Yeah.
And the way the the system and the media tried to play this is almost ridiculous. They have no love for the community, you know, and their attacks are usually directed at someone who has an idea of what to do. Just like I was talking earlier about what's going on here in this community, we have people talking about bringing more police. That never solved no problem, bringing in more police. And not only don't bring in more police, bring in the army for a small community like this. If you can't handle a small community like this, then it's not the people, it's you. If you're supposed to be in leadership, because the first thing I did, I got together with some of the young folks. Tell me what's going on. That's right. You know, let them talk. Let them tell you what is happening. And and that's how you deal with this. You know, you don't beat around the bush. You attack the situation.
What are they saying?
Yeah.
What are they saying, Reverend?
Well, this is what the young folks saying, that the older people, the people that's in power and leadership, they're not listening to what they want or what they need. And that's like, and then here's another thing. The police department, they said, this guy, I'm talking to people not in township, but it's strictly in the city of Vincent Harbor. They said the chief of police in McGinnis is corrupt. And they said that, and they know he's corrupt. They said the difference is they was telling me some stuff that I never heard before. I was like, how y'all know that? I said, is that true? They said, yeah, it's true. I said, I don't want to repeat everything they said because, you know, they told it to me, you know. What they were saying was that, you know, this guy's corrupt to the top. He said, you have no idea. And I dare not. Look, what they were telling me was so shocking that I couldn't believe it. They were talking about the mayor, telling me what he was doing. Telling me he's smoking marijuana. And I said, well, marijuana is legal now, you know, so you don't. He said, yeah, but he shouldn't be
smoking
marijuana.
Oh, so he has
marijuana.
A basement? He has a basement,
He has a basement that he goes to. But like I told them, I said, that's legal now. You can't, you know, you can't fault the person for doing something that's legal now, can you? He said, yeah, but he's supposed to be a role model for all of us. So he's telling us it's all right. I said, well, look, I can't get into that one, though. You know, if you're talking about something legal. But anything else, I could, you know, I stand up for. But, I can't put them down for that, like I told him. And,
Well, I can't hold the I can't hold the marijuana thing against him. Was legal, you know. It was illegal for many years, and my belief is that it was illegal not because it's bad, but because it's good. And I think they're finding that out with the research now.
Absolutely.
You know, they're being allowed to do the research, and and you know, they're finding a lot of things out that were kind of forbidden before. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And sorry to get off on that tangent, but that's a sore spot with me.
But you're absolutely right, but I just want to throw that in. But it's just so much going on. And until the people come together, this thing is going to continue just like it is, Phil. One of the things, I give John Mann credit for something he said. He said, it takes the people to reform government, which is a true statement. Government cannot be reformed without the people. The people have to take a stand. Until we take a stand and say no more, things are going to continue just like it is. See, we don't even know how bad things are going to get. I just got a feeling things are going to get extremely bad. Extremely bad. And
Hey, Reverend, it's interesting you mentioned John Mann. I just saw him today. And and I think the last time I saw him was at your 70th birthday party when Jane Fonda showed up. It's been that long since I've seen him. And John had some shocking items for me. I don't know if you want me to share them on the show.
Go ahead.
Okay, some of it has to do with COVID, and I know you and I don't agree on the whole COVID scenario and the best way to handle different things. So is it okay if I bring this up?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what John tells me, and I found this to be very shocking, I'll just try to summarize it, okay, that the whole COVID scenario has been overblown, that it's a government, well, I can't say government, but it's been a privately manufactured variant of just a simple cold virus, which he says cold viruses are, you know, they're known for being extremely catchy. And so he says the numbers have been inflated to scare people, and that they call everything that in the hospital that goes on, they call it, they died from COVID. Now, I know that you've had people, a lot of friends, die from some kind of respiratory infection, and I'm not going to, I don't really want to argue about that right now, but what he says, what he's saying to me is that the vaccine itself, we need to be more afraid of that. He says the mRNA technology, the spike protein is kind of programmed to duplicate itself again and again, and that it's actually producing a condition where the body wants to attack itself. And I said, kind of like AIDS, and he said, exactly. So I'm just telling you straight from the source. Since you brought him up, I felt the inspired to talk about him. And I don't have to waste a whole lot of time, you know, presenting this, but that's what he told to me, and so I'm thinking very differently today. And I'm,
you
that's,
know
enough,
what?
That's enough, I'll say.
Yeah, but you know what? I like John, because John is willing to put stuff out there and let the chips fall where it's may. And I like people like that, you know. You know, everybody may not agree with what he say, but it's all right. It's all right. It's all right to disagree with one another.
Yeah, and he sends you a lot of emails, doesn't he?
Yeah, I get a lot of emails from John.
Oh, okay, so you've probably heard the whole thing.
More or less, and
okay.
I usually email him back and you know, give him my take on it, and we dialogue a little bit.
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, just a little bit, though, because some things, you know, I feel that, you know, people need to know, or people, and then, you know, whatever people think in reference to this virus, that's,
yeah,
you know, that's, I don't hold that against them, you know, whatever your heart desires, then, you know, that's on you. You got to live with yourself. I don't have to live with you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that is so important that people need to know that, you know, whatever it is, the key thing is that we have to find a common ground where we can come together and stand together, fight together, and be together. Until we're able to do that, Phil, it's going to be just like this. They got the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Now that's another division that has been set up. You see, everything is divided. You got Republicans, you got Democrats, you got black, you got white, you got all these different divisions, and it's designed to do exactly what it's doing: divide people up. Also, even this COVID-19, it's designed to divide people up. You know, and one of the things that I will always do, I will make sure that, you know, that my family is protected, my friends are protected, and I protect myself from this virus. But look, I just want to say I want to thank you so much for writing that book. That book is, you know, I don't know, for the rest of my life, I will always cherish it, because I think, to me, I know you wrote it from your heart, and you meant every word that's in that book. And any time that you can find a friend who's going to write like that, then you need to keep that friend, because friends are hard to come by.
You're a good friend too, Reverend.
Well, thank you, there. But look, I gotta let you go. But you got about 30 seconds of whatever your heart desire. You can say, I'm giving you 30 seconds to say whatever Phil wants to say, and then I'm going to move on.
Okay. Well, I think you're right about finding a common ground. And I think we just have to find something that we agree on. I think we've got to start at step one, because right now, you're right, we're divided in so many ways. And even this virus has shown me that a lot of people that I used to feel I was in line with, I feel out of line with them. But the one thing that this virus has taught me is that I have to coexist with people who have the exact opposite opinion of me.
Yes.
And we've just got to get along and figure out a way to exist together and tolerate each other with and not threaten each other. Life is too short for all that. We just got to try to get along whatever way we can.
Thanks for
letting me talk, Reverend.
And don't forget about September the 10th.
No, I'll be there to pass out water for sure. Looking forward to
all
it.
All right, that's my man. I always know I can count on you.
Yeah, thank you, Reverend.
All right, Theo, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
All right, that was my good friend, Theo. Not really say meaning to a good friend. Let me see, is Jeffrey there? Jeffrey, are you there? Jeffrey, are you there? All right, let me move on to the one and only Marcina Cole.
Hello.
Cole.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey.
This is Marcina. Hey there. There's a lot going on across the country and the world. We only have so much time on this show, and I appreciate you allowing me to talk about some things that basically is happening all across the country. Like he mentioned about the COVID-19, we have different opinions or whatever, but it definitely is a worldwide global pandemic that's going on, and it's affecting our lives daily. And myself and you and others have had loved ones who was affected with COVID-19. We've had friends that died from COVID. So we can go on and on and on. It's still here in spite of what the CDC Director Walensky stated, not to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. And I mentioned that before the last time I was on your show. Unfortunately, there's been an increase of COVID-19 surges across the country. Even in Hawaii, when they had various travel mandates where people could not come in unless they were fully vaccinated, tested, whether or not they were negative or positive with COVID. And in spite of that, they even had a surge because people that not only were, blocked from coming into Hawaii from various states, they had to have, like 14 days where they had to be quarantined before they actually, vacationed. So you can imagine what that was like. That was a lot of money involved. You couldn't even go around anywhere, while you were in Hawaii. However, right now, people that were traveling that live in Hawaii and went somewhere and come back, they brought the COVID-19 and possibly variant also. So they are actually experiencing surges. And across the country, we got Florida, you got various states. We got Mississippi. Mississippi hospital beds are in the parking lot. So they're going backwards, like 2020 or whatever. In the parking lot garages, they're dealing with the COVID-19 surge. And that's unfortunate because a lot of these states, and because of the ruling by Walensky, CDC director, saying if you're vaccinated, you can, go about your business, and go on to stores and the various events and the bars and everything else, and nobody's asking you, to show proof that you've been vaccinated, and who to say you're fully vaccinated that you don't get COVID. There has been documentation that even if you're vaccinated, you can get COVID. I don't know the percentage, and I doubt if the so-called experts know either. But I do know this is a world pandemic, and it has not stopped. Even in Ireland with COVID-19 cases, they have the surges that's going on of the higher vaccination. So a lot of these experts, doctors or whatever, they don't have the answer. So we have to think in terms, what can we do for our family and our friends and spread the word. And some people might not want to hear about it, but, it, you know, it is what it is. We do know there are surges across the country and the world. So nevertheless, you know, I had a petition, and someone said he couldn't find it. And I found it to be interesting. I had petitioned dealing with demand CDC director resigns because of the increase of COVID cases. I had mentioned it was going to be a surge 2 months ago, and nobody wasn't paying attention with social media. Social media is like who they like best. It's not about the factual information. It's about whether they like the individual who's posting it, a comment or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of crazy how social media is.
And you know, you're right about that. Because that's you see, even Facebook, or I call it Book Face, you know, what they what they do is that, you know, you can put out some information that they actually need. And most of them, they won't like it. They don't, you know, they'll make a derogatory comment. They would, you know, they would do all these things. And rather than even like it, because, you know, black people are some funny folks, you know, dealing with black people, they don't want that thing that they're not as smart as the next person, you know, and if you talk to one, they know everything there is in the world. There's nothing they don't know. But if they knew everything, we wouldn't be in this compromising position we're in today, you know. But my thing is this. I let me say this about that lady, the CDC lady. The dumbest thing I ever heard was that vaccinated people do not have to wear a mask. That was dumb.
Exactly.
Because more than half the country at that time was not vaccinated.
Exactly.
And she actually should be fired for that, because that was stupidity, you know. I don't get her logic on that. I don't understand that. But we allow them to get away with this stuff, and I'm glad you put that petition out there. Whether they see it, they believe me, anything that's got to do with COVID, they see it. Because Dr. Times here, he put some stuff out there and the governor wanted to meet with him.
You're right, Reverend Pete, because, see, I received a message while I was on the phone, you know, waiting to be next on your show, that they couldn't find my petition. I said, it's got to be there, because it was reclaiming your right to health. That's my movement. And I basically, it says about help stay COVID-free, and I mentioned about the wash your hands, practice social distancing, wear face masks, and I broke down why I had demanded the CDC director to resign, and about the business establishment, and, you know, and that guard was let down, and so on and so on. So she said she didn't find it, and I got to find out what's going on. If anyone is listening, please look for that petition demanding CDC director resign her post, because what's happening is, I don't know if you noticed, but there's been a turnaround on her decision. She's being ignored what she said about you can go in these various stores while wearing masks. The business establishments have realized their workers aren't coming to work because they don't want to jeopardize their safety, so they're not coming to work. And so I've gone to stores, and I see signs and saying, listen, you know, wear a mask. This is not government mandated. These are the people that have businesses knowing if they don't have customers, their business is going to have to shut down, which some businesses have shut down. So we got different places that have changed the ruling, overriding the CDC's no mandate about wearing a mask unless you're fully vaccinated. So it's not working, and I was trying to point that out. I'm not an expert. I know what I'm not stupid. So I'm ahead of my time, so be it. I've already pointed out before, we claim the right to health in 2019 before anybody knew in the United States about the COVID-19, you know. So I had talked about the racial disparity in the black community when it comes down to health and medical care, and boom, bam, 2020, here comes COVID. Nobody was paying attention when I spoke. start speaking to people mm-hmm. y'all think is an underdog out here, because we got strong voices. You know, I'm not trying to get a follower, okay, and I'm not behind the sheep or what everybody else behind folks don't know what they're talking about. I'm keeping it real. It's real talk. I'm doing it from experience. I've been around too long out here fighting. I'm not trying to outdo nobody else fighting and not having a new organization to outdo the previous organization, all of that. It's about us being together, and it's about us saving our lives, and we must come together. We have so much that we're fighting for, being a person of color, you know, from the gun violence to the police brutality. We're dealing with a homelessness, all that and above. So I only can deal one position at a time. I know the petition is out there. I want people to look for it. If my name is Marcina Cole. You could not
hey,
remove
Marcina.
It, but I do know. Uh-huh.
Marcina, why don't you put the petition on our page?
I did put it on there. Is it gone?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, I'm going to have to review it. But
put it on the page.
When you hit the truth, people have an issue with that. When you get smacked faces,
and
I sent mine to the president.
They can't handle the truth.
No, they can't. It's too much. And when I see, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to, when I get off this phone, I'm going to find out or ask other people listening today. This evening, you know, find out what's going on. And I want to just point in another thing. See, all this is tied in with COVID-19. We just cannot dismiss and not talk about COVID-19 because it had never ended. So if a white person said it ended, they told a bloody lie. People still dying. People still in the hospital. People ain't in the hospital. They in the parking lot because they don't have room in the hospital for the patients. So we dealing with all this stuff. So no matter what somebody say, it was cold, flu, or whatever, this is real, and it's affecting people across the world, economy, everything, family structure, main person bringing the money in is dead. So we already know what time it is, unemployment, employment. So we cannot deny how negatively this pandemic affected us. But I want to say this. Biden had supposed to have extended the eviction moratorium to October, the first week of October, but unfortunately the conservative politicians is supporting the landlords, and that's good, that's all right, but wait a minute. When we got folks out here that don't have a job with adequate pay, and they're talking about throwing them out in the street, and that's okay with y'all? No, that ain't okay. So now they're attacking Biden because he supported a moratorium on eviction. So now what's going on, the landlords got their thing and trying to block Biden's new eviction. So we don't know. My daughter's affected by this. She got 3 eviction notice. So it's a fight for our existence. It's a fight for the poor who don't have a voice. You know, everybody's situation is not the same. But the common denominator, people are out here struggling to keep their homes, a place to live, you know. So, you know, it's a fight that continues. The landlords get subsidy money. We know the government gives them money. So they crying and hollering and upset, you know, that they're supporting the people, the tenants, and how dare them speak like that, because I bet you one day they've been in a situation where they didn't have a place to stay. So we're just asking. I've seen the Barksdale. She's still struggling, and I've got this keep Marcina's bark in her home, and so you know when we're talking against MISDA, the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, basically oversees public housing, and they're demanding $1,194 they claim. So we're asking people to do a cash app. I don't know how much it's been risen, how much money that we have collected so far, because it is a cash app. We're asking people to donate cash app to the $ with LEIGH, capital LEIGH, capital LEA. It's case sensitive. This fundraiser is via a cash app due to time sensitivity. So it's being spread by organizations like Detroit Eviction Defense, and I appreciate them, you know, coming on board and supporting my daughter. I went to one of their meetings, and I've always supported their efforts to protect the vulnerable people and protect them from being evicted and being removed from their homes. You have no home, you have no life. All of us need a roof on the head. Even a cat need a roof over his head or her head. So we're out here continue to fight, and not for just Martina Boston, but so many others that's out here are being evicted or threatened to be evicted, and they can do this because the courts change daily. The courts is not for the people. I don't know how they get elected and appointed, but we got to stick together, and so we can change our lives in a positive direction and not be so concerned about these judges. These judges are no good. The majority of them no good. And so we have to come together and stop, you know, working so separately and have all these different groups, you know. But Reverend Pini, you do what you do, and I appreciate what you do for people. Folks ain't going to like us, but what we can't worry about it. We do know, I know that the higher power moves me, and I have my own challenges, medical challenges, whatever, just like everybody else. And I did not get COVID-19, but my daughter almost died last year. So from COVID-19, so I know how it affects people. I'm not just talking about those folks. It's giving disinformation, come with the facts. And I challenge Walensky, too. I'm going to find that petition. Hopefully people that listen to me today, see if you can find that petition in regards to telling folks they can go in anywhere without a mask. If something's going on, Reverend Pini, because they have changed their ruling to the point where, you know, some business, you know, can tell folks, you know, it's on you all. You can tell them you don't have to wear no mask. I mean, that, you know, you can tell them that they can wear a mask now. You know, so they're changing that. So it's slowly, I see it's coming back to where people are wearing masks. I saw that the other day and the day before. The word has gotten out that what Walensky said, the director said, was wrong. And by the way, Michigan First Bank here, the one that's in Southfield, Michigan, has a sign at their door, remove your mask. We want to see you smile. So anyway, I had gotten an email, and they telling folks by September the 4th, you cannot come in their bank with a mask on. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So we got all these different messages out here.
People need to pull their money out of that bank. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm just letting you know how folks is going for basically economically. I don't know what their logic is from. People came in there with masks on the other day. I had my mask on, but that it's not going to be enforced, I think, to the first week of September. And so, you know, and so someone said, well, it's their bank. Yeah, it's their bank, and there's my money, too. How about that? So people have the choice to remove their money because they don't care about your health.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. I'm glad that she realized, you know, everybody don't want to wear a mask. But that's on, you know, that's on them. You know, to me, I prefer to wear a mask, and I will wear a mask.
Yes, I do too.
I don't care where I go. My wife and myself, we will have on a mask. If you are around me, 99.9% of the time, I am going to have a mask on. I figure like this: if I don't protect myself, who will? And even if a mask don't protect you, mentally, in my mind, I believe a mask will protect me. But look, I got to give you 30 more seconds, then I got to bring in thinking. But I want you to find that petition and put it
on support.
Sometimes they have stuff like that, and anything got to do with the CDC, you know, they protect them at all costs. If they is giving out bad information, and to me, she should have been fired for that. There's no excuse for her making a statement like that and surviving. And they really thought that was cute because they was talking about if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. If you're not vaccinated, then once again, it set up division. That's what it did. And that's all part of, as long as they keep everybody divided, they can win. They can't win if the people come together, and that's what they're trying to do. But look, I'm not going to be on Bankole's show of Tuesday.
Okay.
It's going to be Friday at 11 a.m. I guess when he have his biggest audience or whatever. So he want me on Friday, and that's 9:10 a.m. at 11 o'clock, and I plan to be on. And my attorney going to be on also, and my goal is to give it to them like they never had it before. And
I know you're going to take care of that. You're going to tell me.
Yeah, oh, by all means.
But not falsehood.
Yeah, absolutely. See, we got to tell these people because people don't know this. You could be minding your own business. They could pull you over and claim you did something and take you inside the courtroom, have a jury, and convict you and send you to prison, and you never did nothing wrong.
That's right. They could do it all the time.
Amen.
They're doing it now. They're costing
us
in the street.
I gotta let you go.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there. On that note, we will talk soon. Take care of yourself.
Okay, take care now. Okay.
All right. Let me bring in the Pinkney, Pamela, Pinkney.
Cousin Reverend. This is
all
Reverend
right
Pamela
now.
Pinkney, your cousin who loves you and all that you do, your wife and everybody. I heard you talking about
Amen.
A lot of good things today. And I want to just bring some information to you this evening. You were talking about the curfew. Well, there's a group of religious leaders stationed beginning out of Indianapolis, Indiana, who have been riding around in police cars after dark collecting people's children, getting money for their religious buildings and entities in exchange for these children and giving them criminal records. And they do not contact the parents or anything. And I reported that to Mary Moriarty in Indianapolis, Indiana City County Council, but it's a nationwide thing that they have going on. And they get money for their religious organizations to put these children in a juvenile detention center. And I just wanted to give you that information so you can look into that yourself, because she was over the safety committee. And then I wanted
Pamela, you know what? I believe that because this is – and then you see one thing about black folks. Black people do things for money. Anytime you become materialistic, you'll do anything. And I think they think money is status. They don't care about the morals and stuff like that. They don't care about stuff like that. But what you just said was a key point, because they use like ministers. And look, we got a minister here who walk around with his pistol on his side, but no, in a small community like this, there's not a reason in the world, because you know everybody.
I want to touch on something like that too, because I never one time saw Jesus tell any preacher or any of his disciples to kill anybody. Jesus went around healing. He didn't go around killing. And these pistol packing preachers, and other religious leaders, need to sit that behind down somewhere and get saved. But I wanted to also touch on, I've heard COVID. It's real. The flu is real. AIDS is real. Global warming is real. But, I keep hearing all this big effort about masks, but I don't hear this country shutting down about this gun violence and this police brutality. Every law now is giving police officers, which are supposed to be peace officers, rights to murder people. And now they're giving them civil rights in Ohio. And there's something wrong with this picture because, people got, hey, Ed, you and I, we both ran for office. We've been running for office. you know, we got in the political world. And it just bothers me that Christians won't do this, right? Because the word says that we establish the law. We are the ones that make the law. And we're supposed to be the ones. The government is on our shoulders. We can go Old Testament or New Testament. We can go constitutional. We can go Declaration of Independence. But I also heard you say something about you're being charged with a crime that doesn't exist. But the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution, inside of there, says that they can say that you committed a crime and make you a slave out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But people have, like the Muslim guy you were talking about, that mayor, whoever he is, they're going around telling these lies that the 13th Amendment set free slaves free. Well, our cousin, our cousin, George Washington, the first president who was inaugurated in the United States of America, was the first person to free the slaves. See, I like your little friend who was on there, and your friend who was on there talking about his book, and I love what he said. Because, see, you and me, we're multiracial Americans. We have black family members, white family members. We have family members of all races, all colors, creeds. So we don't have a reason to be racist. And
that's right.
I love the way he was talking because we, you and me, we're caught up in the middle of a racial mess between dark-skinned folks and white people. And I'm tired of that now. And until these people realize that we have a common ground, that everybody wants food, shelter, and raiment in this country and abroad, and other places, I hate that term, abroad, and elsewhere, then we're going to keep having the mess that we're having. I don't want an all-white America. I don't want an all-black America. I want an all-right America. I want people to have, there is no excuse for anybody in the United States of America to not have education, not have medical care, not have the needs that they need. And with all of this money that we have in this country, it is not acceptable. It is not to be tolerated. There is more money spent on guns and weapons of warfare than it is for to have a roof put on somebody's house. And that's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what you need me to do because I did go on your face. I did go on your Facebook page. I don't know what you and your wife need me to do to help you. But our family is the one who signed the United States Constitution. Charles Coatsworth Pinckney. And I don't know, you and I haven't had a chance to talk because they took the C out of the name because the C people are the ones who were slave traders, but the Pinckneys that took the C out of the name were the ones are the slave liberators. And people don't understand that because the Pinckneys with the C still have slave plantations, some of them, the ones that don't want to, you know, be a part of that. And people get all this stuff twisted.
You know, you are right on point because it was a Pinckney. It was just Pinckney, and the ones that was dealing with slaves, they the one put the C in there. It was two brothers. One brother had the C, and the other brother did not. And that's how all this thing started on the Pinckney plantation. And that's the history that I have of it. But let me say this too. There are some very, very important things that's going on, Pamela Pinckney, that we need to spread the word. We need to figure out a way how to bring people together. Look, you don't have to like me. This is the thing that get me, Pam. You don't have to like each other. See, people going around, if I don't like you, I'm not going to work with you.
Right.
This is no popularity contest. What we're trying to do, we are at war. This is a war. This is no conflict that we're involved with, Reverend. This is no war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. And people have to get through their head that they got to stand up and fight. And if you don't want to fight for yourself, fight for the future of your children and your grandchildren. This is how, message.
You know, my problem is where is it in Scripture? I want to start with the saints, the Christians. Where is it in Scripture that Jesus told us to like and dislike each other? Jesus went about doing the work, healing, setting people free, advocating for people, because Jesus called the Pharisees bastards and everything else. So
everything else.
Where they get this idea that Jesus is some kind of coward? Because Jesus wasn't no little jumping back. Jesus laid his life down. Did nobody take it? So I don't understand when these Christians are walking around here scared of everything. And I don't understand these political leaders compromising and coming in our churches. I'm not having that in my congregation, in my ministry.
Absolutely not.
I went to a church today, and the preacher never one time mentioned Jesus in the sermon. He never mentioned Jesus in the sermon.
There you go. And then, look, they done dummy down the community. See, you know, in my community, I could talk about this community. They started 25 years ago dummying down the people. People going to school and stuff. Everything that they knew that certain race of people liked, they took out of the schools. They now it is they talk about math, but they always come up with something. It's a new math. But look, Pinckney, I just ran out of time, and but look,
okay.
We're gonna talk more about this next week. Because I'm talking about is so important.
If you and your wife need me in your ministry, y'all need me, you know how to reach me. Just let me know. In the community, if y'all need me. I love you. Pinckney. We are Pinckney. Cousin and cousin.
There you go.
I love
going
you.
Down.
Keep up the good work.
All
okay?
right now.
Keep
and
up the good
work. I want to end the show by saying this. Do not believe that you exempt from walking down the street, getting arrested, and they're taking you to jail and sending you to prison. According to the judge themselves, that is not a constitutional violation, which I know is a lie.
Oh, that's
on that note,
I'm going to tell you from the word of Malcolm X.
You ain't got time for that. We got to go.
Bamboozled. And lied to, and Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright was absolutely right. And when Barack Obama sold him out, he sold out our country.
All
Goodbye.
Right.
I love
so
you.
That's it. That's the last note right there.